shall behold him far beyond the starry sky, face to face in all his glory. I shall see him by and by. What rejoicing his presence, when our banished grief and pain, when the crooked ways are straightened, and the dark things shall be plain. Face to face, oh blissful moment, face to face.
Amen. Thank you. What a great song, and so well done. May the Lord help us. Let's take the Word of God this morning, and we will go to Psalm chapter number 22. Psalm chapter 22. So grateful that you're here today. And if you're visiting with us, it is an honor to have you. And we pray that you will feel welcome and blessed to be in the house of the Lord. I do want to say happy birthday to Miss Sylvia this morning, and happy birthday to her. And I asked her 47, 48. She said somewhere around there. All right. And so we'll leave it at that. And we have lots of how many? Your birthday is in April. Would you lift your hand and hold it high? All right. See all those dear godly people there. All right. And I want to thank you for all the birthday cards from your cat to me. All right. And, you know, I was on a plane recently and a lady had a cat on there. And I thought, Lord, what is this world coming to? All right, you know? And now, in my opinion, you know, there's other places for that cat to ride on the airplane. I don't know if it'll be alive when it gets back, but, you know. But anyway, I appreciate all the cards and all that. Some of you, yeah, you gave me cards from your cat, all right? And, but I don't think your cat cares about my birthday. I really don't, all right? And, but anyway, I do want to show you one gift that I got. Now, I have never received a gift like this in all of my life. And I don't know that I'm going to wear this. I just want the person to know they're here today, all right? But I guess they're thinking about summertime. They're thinking about swimming, all of that. But let me just show you what I received from somebody in our church for my birthday. Check this out right here, all right? Now, if I went swimming and they disappeared when I got wet, that'd be nice, you know. But I pulled that out and I looked at it and I was like, what do I say, you know? Do I say thanks, you know? And but anyway, so praise God for that. All right, so we may auction these off. All right, is what we may do, you know, to help buy the van or something. I don't know. But anyway, so. But I'm not going to tell you who they're from, but I appreciate the McKnight family in a special way, all right? So, but anyways, so they gave that to me on Sunday. You know, everybody's lining up to see my wife and I, and I just opened it right there, and I was so shocked, you know? I just, you know, don't want to lie and say, I really needed that, you know, because, but anyway, so, all right, but probably the most unforgettable gift I've ever received in my life, all right, so, but anyway, it's a blessing. Well, we're so grateful that you're here today, and I do want to encourage you to be back tonight to hear from the Northcutt family and Newfoundland, and we're so thankful for all of our missionaries. What a great blessing they all are. And then I want you to pray for our Christian school. And I know many of you have already enrolled your student in our Christian school. We have 86 students right now, but this we have never had this happen, but we have now 84 enrolled for next year. That is just amazing. In fact, we are getting close to having to cap some classes. So I want you to be in prayer. Of course, we have a prospective teacher that will be with us tonight. So let's really be nice to her, all right, because we need teachers. And she will be here this evening. And then we have another prospective teacher here next Sunday. And so we want the Lord's will to be done. And Lord has always provided for us. I remember one year we needed two teachers and it was summertime. And we still did not have two teachers. And the Lord provided. He blessed and He took care of our need. And God knows and loves this school. And so you'd be in prayer in a special way for that. We come to Psalm chapter 22. And I love the book of Psalms. It is one of my favorite books in all the Word of God. There are three books in the heart of the Bible, Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes, that deal with the heart issues of man. And when we come to the book of Psalms, we understand that David, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, wrote most of the book of Psalms. And specifically, Psalm 22 is a psalm of David. Now, please know that this would be called a messianic psalm, meaning a psalm that our Savior obviously gave to us. But let me be very clear about this. Psalm 22, many Bible teachers believe that the Lord Jesus actually quoted this entire psalm while he was dying on the cross to pay for our sin debt. So as you read it, and you follow along with me in just a moment, I want you to think of a dying Savior, a loving Savior, giving himself for you and me, quoting Psalm 22. Now, by the way, Psalm 22 through 24 are very precious psalms. In fact, Psalm 22, which we will read in just a moment, is our great shepherd on the cross for his sheep. I love the analogy of the shepherd with his sheep. What a beautiful analogy. In Psalm 22, we understand that's the great shepherd caring for the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. And then in Psalm chapter 24, it is our great shepherd coming for his sheep. And I want you to know that there is coming a day that Jesus is coming again. And I want to encourage you to be ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. His first coming, he came to this earth to bleed and die for the sins of all mankind. But there is a second coming. And oh, what this world is going to be after he comes. Can you imagine when all of the godly influence of this world is taken out? Think of that. And brethren, if you do not know our Savior, I would beg of you, I encourage you today to look to the Lord Jesus as the only way to heaven. But as we look at Psalm chapter 22, this is, I believe, a psalm that Christ actually spoke on the cross. As Jesus was bearing the sin debt, as Jesus was suffering the separation from his own heavenly Father, he is crying this out. Now, brethren, today, as we talk about the gospel, the word gospel means good news. But I want you to know something, that the good news is the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But some people do not believe they need the good news because they've never heard the bad news. And the bad news is that we are sinners, and because of our sin debt, we deserve to spend eternity in a place called hell forever. We are separated from God. The wrath of God abides upon us. But the good news is that Jesus paid for our sin. Jesus made a way for every man, woman, boy, or girl to enter into heaven. In fact, Jesus said in John 14 that I have prepared a place for you. I love that. By the way, can I tell you something? God is not a distant God. He is a personal God. And this morning, I don't know where you're at in your life. I do not know the background of your life. I do not know what's going on right now. But I want you to know that there is a God in heaven who knows you by name. That God knows every emotion that you are dealing with. He knows every hurt. He knows every wound. And that God loves you with an everlasting love. That God loves you with a love that will never change. And that God seeks after you. You know, one of the greatest thoughts that I am reminded of is that God is always previous. You know, we don't seek God on our own. He seeks after us. In fact, the Bible says that we love Him because He first loved us. I love the Lord this morning because He first loved me. He sought me even when I was unlovable. Oh, this morning, God wants to work in our hearts and lives. And this morning, as we look at Psalm chapter 22, it is known as the Psalm of the Cross. Because in this psalm, we find the description of Calvary, of what Jesus suffered for us. Let's read it together. Psalm chapter 22, and we're going to read this entire psalm. I want you to follow along, but I want you to think of our Savior in agony and in despair as He cries out to His Heavenly Father. Look at this psalm. Psalm chapter 22, the Bible says, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Why art Thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but Thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But Thou art holy, O Thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in Thee. They trusted, and Thou didst deliver them. They cried unto Thee and were delivered. They trusted in Thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man. And I want you to notice verse 6. Look what he says. A reproach of men and despised of the people. Jesus came into His own. His own received Him not. He was a reproach. Think of it. He took our reproach. Verse number 7. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that He would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But Thou art He that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon Thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And Thou hast brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not Thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste Thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for Thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. Now look at verse 22, very important. I will declare Thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise Thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise Him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify Him and fear Him. All ye the seed of Israel. For He hath not despised, nor poured the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath He hid His face from him. But when he cried unto Him, He heard. My praise shall be of Thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear Him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before Thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and He is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before Him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve Him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born. And I want you to notice this last phrase, which is the title of the message this morning, that he hath done this. This morning, with God's help, I want to preach to you on this subject. He hath done this. Let's pray together. Father, these are wonderful people that have assembled here together today. Lord, people that have come to hear your word. Lord, there may be people here that do not know where they would spend eternity, but I pray today that they would know what you have done for them. But Lord, may all of us here, whether we know you or not, may we rest and rejoice, and may we, Lord, remember what you have done for us. Father, we love you and we praise you today. Lord, do a work in our heart. Lord, enable me, strengthen me. Lord, I can do nothing without thee. And so I look to you by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the question is, what did he come to do? If the Bible says he hath done this, I don't know about you, but I've had days before where I come to the end of the day and I think, boy, I didn't get much accomplished today. You ever had a day like that where you come and you say, what did I do today? What did I get done? But not our Savior. The Savior came to this earth on purpose. He came to this earth for a reason, to come to bleed and die. And by the way, Jesus did not come reluctantly to the world. Jesus did not come not caring for us. Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. It was within the heart and mind of God the Father to give his only begotten Son. Why? Because man is lost and hopeless without Jesus Christ. I want you to know something today, that you cannot save yourself. Could you imagine someone that is maybe fallen into some water that is above their head and they do not know how to swim? Let me tell you something. They will die on their own. They cannot save themselves. They will perish. They will die. And men and women this morning, we are just like a person who has fallen into a river and we do not know how to sin. We will sink. Without Jesus Christ, we cannot enter into heaven without the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Look, coming to church does not give you salvation and a home in heaven. Being baptized, and we're going to have people baptized next Sunday and this coming Wednesday, and I'm thankful for that. But they are not getting baptized in order to go to heaven or to wash away their sin. Folks, that is taken care of when we put our faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did for you and me. Can I tell you, if it was good enough for us to be a good moral person or to do good deeds in order to go to heaven, then listen, why did Jesus come? He came to do what God called him to do. And here in the very last verse, it says, he hath done this. And brethren, today as we look at our text, and I want to give you some very special things. And as we think about verse number 20, would you go back to Psalm chapter number 22? And I want you to look in verse number 20. The Bible says, deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power. Notice what it says there, of the dog. Do you know that surrounding the Lord Jesus when he died upon the cross were like vulture-like people, mocking him and jeering him and laughing at him as scorn. The religious leaders were so grateful that finally this Savior, this Messiah, was going to be put to death. They wanted nothing to do with Jesus. Like wild beasts, they surrounded him, wanting to devour him and put an end to him. But folks, it is God, our Heavenly Father, who sent his Son to bleed and die upon the cross for our sins. In fact, one person said, who killed Jesus? Can I tell you, it was God the Father. Jesus, it was the very heart of God the Father to put his Son on the cross. And in fact, when Jesus was dying upon the cross, God the Father turned his Son, turned his back upon his Son. As the Bible says, that Jesus became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'll tell you something. I am so encouraged. You know, recently my wife and I were in Calgary, Canada, and I got to preach to a bunch of couples there, Nigerian and Canadian and Filipino and Ukrainian. And you know what's wonderful to me to know? That God has done this work, not just for us in America, but for the world. Can I tell you something? There are people all over the world that God is working salvation in the midst of this earth. Sometimes it's easy for us to get kind of just single-minded perception on that. We're just concerned about our city or our town or our church. But can I tell you something, folks? Jesus is working all over this world. And people are coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you why? Because that's what He came to do. It says He hath done this. He done it in spite of those that hated Him. He done it in spite of those. By the way, Jesus came into His own received Him not. Jesus did not come to people that wanted Him. Oh, they wanted Him dead. And by the way, if Jesus were to come back today, He's coming again, not to, in fact, this earth per se. The Bible says that we shall meet Him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And He's coming back to rule and reign one day. But can I tell you something? If Jesus came back, they would do the same thing. They would want to crucify Him. Oh, brethren, He hath done this. In obedience to God the Father, God the Son paid our sin debt. It is paid in full by His precious blood. Number one, this morning I'm going to give you some simple thoughts on He hath done this. We talked, number one, about the message of the Lord's people. Now, I think often you would understand that as I come into this building Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, I would have what we call a message. I would have a message to bring. And you know, the truth of the matter is, you have a message. That may not tucked away in your Bible like mine is, but you have a message. It's a message for all of God's people. It's not just for the preacher. It's not just for the staff. It's not just for the missionary family. It is not just for the evangelist. It is for all of God's people that we have a message. Look in verse 22. Notice what the psalmist said here under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. He said, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Do you know that you have a message to tell? Well, the question is, are we telling the message? Are we declaring that message? Do you know something this morning, that you will meet people that I will never meet? I will meet people that you never meet. We all will cross paths with people that maybe do not know the name of Jesus Christ, but God has us there to declare that message. And by the way, we are commanded by God, Jesus, the resurrected Savior, come forth from the tomb saying, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Oh, listen, by the way, may God help us to understand that this is not just for some people. This is for all people. In fact, let's take our Bibles, go to John chapter number 20. I want to show you something very important. The message of the Lord's people. As we look in John chapter number 20, I want you to see something very, very important. By the way, I have a message to tell. You have a message to tell. You know, there's sometimes that, I've got a message on my heart, and it's so burning so much. You know what? Sometimes I just have to tell my wife. I have to tell her. Sometimes my wife gets to hear it multiple times before you get to hear it. But it's burning in my heart. But why don't we give the message to the lost? By the way, do you know that you can never witness to the wrong person? I was on a plane recently and I witnessed to a man. And I tell you, I was so encouraged because I could tell the man had a very strong accent. And, you know, people think I have a strong accent, you know. Everybody thinks they have different accents because where they were born and raised. But the man was from Guatemala. And I began to talk with him. He was very kind to me. And I just got right into it. We're talking. He was an engineer flying all over the world and all of that. And he said he lives now here in Guatemala, actually lives in Lima. And I just began to talk to him. I said, sir, do you go to church? He said, well, yes, I do. And I said, well, sir, I'm a Christian. I know Jesus as my Savior. Do you know the Lord is your Savior? Boy, a big smile came on his face. He said, yes. He said, growing up in Guatemala, he said, I was steeped in religion that was nothing to offer. Religion that was nothing but works. And he said, but I came to know Jesus. And he said this, Jesus has changed everything about my life. Boy, I love that. We fellowship together, talk together. You know what? He's my brother in Christ. And I'm his brother in Christ. And even though I told him about the Lord, it was not in vain, because I was encouraged, and I think he was encouraged, as two brethren in the Lord. We talked about what God has done in our heart. You know what? We have a message to tell. It's a wonderful message. It is a life-giving message this morning. And Jesus said, I will declare. Are you declaring today? Now, let's look in John chapter 20, because this is something so special to talk about. John chapter 20, look in verse number 17, if you'll notice this passage here. I love it. Now, this is the resurrected Savior speaking, and he is speaking here to Mary, and the Bible says, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father. Now, I want you to look at that term, my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and what's the next two words? Your Father, and to my God and your God. Boy, I'll tell you what precious words those are there. Brethren, can I encourage you today that God is not some distant God who can never be reached because of our sin. Jesus said, now we can say our Father. He said, I am going to my Father and your Father. And I am going to my God and your God. This morning, can I ask you something? Is he your Father and is he your God? Well, you cannot know the Father and you cannot know God, but only through Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You cannot get to the Father into heaven through the church or through baptism or through good works or through good deeds. It is only through Jesus Christ. Oh, brethren, I love that. As our God, listen, he is the creator God who made the world. He spoke everything that we see into existence. He is not only my God, but he is your God today. Folks, how can this be possible? Because of what Jesus did for you and me. Listen, every day we live, we should thank Jesus for what he did for us on the cross. When's the last time you just worshiped him and you said, oh, Jesus, thank you for what you did for me. Thank you that you died for me. By the way, do you know something? In the sovereignty and the all-knowing God, when Jesus died on the cross, he was thinking of you. You say, how is that possible, Pastor? Because he is God. In fact, when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can I tell you who was in the them? That's all of us today. That word them was all inclusive. It was all people, all of mankind. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, listen, what is this that he hath done? He has made a way to God. He has made a way for you and me to go to our God, our Father. He has bridged the gap between sinful man and a holy God. He paid our sin debt on the cross. By the way, the Bible says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Boy, when I was in school, I had a couple of goals, you know, in life. I loved playing basketball, and I had a goal that I wanted to be able to dunk a basketball. Well, let me tell you something. You can look at me and tell that never accomplished, all right? That never happened. Now, those small goals that we have for the little kids, maybe, all right? Maybe I can work that. And I remember I came short. It didn't matter how hard I tried. It didn't matter, but I was short. What if I were to take all of us into the gymnasium after the service and say, I'll tell you what, anybody here can go to heaven if you can jump and touch the roof of the gymnasium ceiling. You know what you would say, Pastor? It's an impossibility. You're exactly right. Can I tell you something? If you can reach the righteousness of God, if you can come to the place to where you are perfect like God is perfect, then you can go to heaven. But the Bible says that we have come short of the glory of God. All of us are sinners. We are born into this world with a sin nature. Listen, I didn't teach my children to sin. They learned it all on their own. Why? Because they were born into this world as sinners. And we are born in this world. But it's more than that. We are separated from God. So what did Jesus do? He bridged the gap and allowed us to enter in. By the way, you know when Jesus Christ died on the cross, that veil of the temple You know the temple where the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies once a year, and only the high priest. And he had to take the blood of the sacrificial lamb with him. When Jesus died on the cross, God miraculously rent the temple and the veil of that temple in two, saying, now we can boldly enter into the presence of God. Aren't you thankful today? Brethren, I can go to God through Jesus this very moment, and so can you. Oh, listen, today our problem in America and around the world, it's not a financial problem. It's not an organizational problem. It's not an educational problem. It is a sin problem. It's a sin problem, and Jesus Christ died for sinners. He hath done this. What has He done for you? He loved you enough to go to the cross and die for you. Oh, I love that phrase. He hath done this. You know something? If you educate a man as well as he can be educated, if you refine him with all the possible refinements and human culture, he's still a sinner. I witnessed to a woman recently, and I talked to her about the Lord, and she was highly educated. She had a PhD. Now, I don't even know what that is, really, you know? My dad used to say a PhD is a post-hole digger. I don't know if it is, all right? But that's what he used to say. Now, if you have a PhD, I'm not making light of that. You are highly educated. But this woman was very gifted. Her education was unbelievable. But when I talked to her about the Lord, she did not know Jesus as her Savior. In fact, she was going to a place to meet someone at Yale University. And I said to her, I said, do you know that Yale began as a preacher's college? They train preachers. But now there's no hint of that whatsoever. But the lady had great education. No doubt she's probably making the world, in some sense, a better place because of her education, because of her care and all of that. But folks, you can educate a man. You can refine a person only to make him better for this world, but he's still going to die and spend eternity in hell without Jesus Christ. Right. So the problem today is not education, is not financial. It is a sin problem. Jesus Christ took care of the one thing that we could never take care of. He paid for our sin. That is what He has done. By the way, you say, Pastor, most of us in here know Jesus as our Savior. But it is good to remind us that this is the message of the Lord's people, that He hath done this. I have done nothing for my salvation. I have done nothing to obtain a way to heaven. He hath done this. And we should praise Him today. By the way, this is the message that we declare to everyone. He is now our Father. He is now our God. And we can know Him through Jesus Christ. By the way, can I tell you something? The message never changes. It remains the same. Now, this world is changing. I see teenagers wearing things today they think are in style, but people wore them years ago, you know? And it's kind of funny to me, you know? My kids have made fun of me for things they saw that I wore and things like that. They laugh at me. And I tell them, just wait. Your kids will probably wear those same things, you know? And it will be in style. And then you'll think I was in style, you know? But can I tell you something? The message, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ never changes, no matter what this popular culture demands. The message remains the same, that He hath done this. Amen. Oh, may God help us today. Folks, if we remain true to Christ, and if we're going to remain true to Jesus Christ, we must preach and teach nothing but the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is the message of God's people. Number two, what is the mission of God's people? Well, the mission of the Lord's people is the mission of our Savior. Let's go back to Psalm chapter 22, if you would please. Now, I love John chapter 20, and where Jesus said, I'm going to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Wonderful. We come back to Psalm chapter 22, and I want you to look in verse number 27. Because we have a message and we know what the message is, therefore we have a mission. The mission is to get the message out to everyone. Now, brethren, I want to be very kind and I want to be very careful about this, but I do want to be very clear that this is the mission of all God's people. Do you know that our mission is not to determine who we are to give the gospel to? Our mission is to give the gospel. That's what God has given us to do. Now listen, we are to be sowers of the seed of the Word of God. We're not to go out and say, well, this looks like a good place to sow the gospel. This doesn't look like a good place. No, the mission is that we give the message of God's people. And by the way, I want to give my life to what is eternal. And you say, well, preacher, you're a pastor, and that's easy for you to do. But folks, that is what we all are to do. Whether you work at Honda, whether you're a farmer, whether you work in a factory, whatever you do, you still have a mission. And by the way, you can accomplish a mission that many of us cannot accomplish in certain areas where the gospel, listen, you will come in contact with people that I will never come in contact with. And God has given you the opportunity. And by the way, you need His help. You need His strength. I need His help and strength. By the way, the gospel has power. The gospel is not dead today. The gospel still has the power to save the lost. But we must give the power. Give the gospel. Let's go back in verse number 27 of Psalm chapter 22. Notice what the Bible says. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. Now, you know what? We have a mission. Let's read on verse 28. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and He is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship, and they that go down to the dust shall bow before Him, and none can keep alive his own soul. Brethren, today I want you to know something. You cannot keep alive your own soul. You can do everything you want to do. You can eat healthy. I think we should. Why is it that everything that tastes bad is good for you and everything that tastes good is bad for you, you know? But can I tell you something? You can do all of that, but you're still going to die. Unless the Lord tarries His coming, brethren, we are going to die, each and every one of us, as it is appointed unto man, wants to die. But brethren, there are dying men and women all around us. And we must understand that the mission of God's people is to give the gospel. Now, brethren, this is not a day for casual Christianity. Can I tell you, the problem in America is not the unsaved, it is not the lost, it is the child of God. That's the problem today. The problem is Christians have become very casual, very complacent about their Christianity and about the message that God has given to us. We almost think that it's a take it or leave it. We can if we want to, but we don't really have to. But brethren, it is not our duty in a sense, and although God has given that to us, but it should become our delight to give the message. That is our mission. You're there in Psalm 22. Let's go to Psalm chapter 29, if you would, please. And I want you to see some. We come to Psalm chapter number 29, and I want us to look, if you would please, in verse number 1. The Bible says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Verse 2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now the word glory there has to do with what rightly belongs to the Lord. Did you know that glory belongs just to the Lord? It only belongs to Him. He deserves all the glory and all the honor. But I want to ask you something today. Are you bringing glory to His precious name? You see, the Bible teaches that we should live our lives so that they bring glory to our Heavenly Father. What rightly belongs to Him? We should bring glory to our Heavenly Father. The life of every child of God should bring glory. It should magnify the Lord. By the way, do you know that if you do not live for Jesus Christ and other people know that you're a Christian, you bring dishonor to the name of Jesus? By the way, years ago I heard the story of a man who went to a church, and he was faithful in church. In fact, he had a position in the church, and yet he worked in a factory, and he was the leader, the manager of the factory, but he was a very mean, unkind man. He cursed, and he was not honorable to God at all. But when he came to church, he changed, you know. He became a very respectable person, and everybody at church thought he was such a fine man. But the men at work thought otherwise. In fact, someone invited one of the men, the co-workers, to come. And they said, well, is that the church that my boss goes to? And they mentioned the name. Yes, he's a fine man in our church. And the man looked at him and said, if that is the kind of people that go to that church, I want nothing to do with it. You know why? Because the man's life was really hypocritical. He lived one way at church and one way at work, and the man did not bring glory to Jesus. There are people here this morning because they were invited by somebody, but I believe it's because they bring glory to Jesus Christ. Men, we are to bring glory to God. And that has to do more with the private, secret place of our heart than anything else. Not how we live in public. It's easy to mask and it's easy to hide in public. It's easy to appear to be spiritual in public. But we are to bring glory to His name. Why? Because we have a mission. And the mission is to get the message. But the problem is, if we are not bringing glory to His name, if we are not giving Him His rightful place, then our message, although it is a wonderful message, has no power behind it. Listen, bringing glory to God's name is giving to the Lord what rightly belongs to Him. By the way, we should find glory in the church. The glory that is due His name. You know how we have glory in the church? We have glory in the church when we sing to honor the Lord, when we come in faithful obedience, when we pay our tithe, when we pray, when we are here to be a blessing and encouragement and serve. That's how we bring glory to God in the church. But folks, we are to have glory in our homes. Men, in your homes, is the glory of God in that home? Is the Bible being read in that home? Is the word of prayer being given in that home? Is the speech and the communication honoring and glory to God in that home? I pray that when you leave the house of God this morning and tonight and this coming Wednesday, that you say, there was glory in that place. Not the glory of an individual, but the glory of God. That we think about Him. Listen, I don't want you to leave here thinking about me or thinking about anybody else. I want you to leave here thinking about Jesus. How great Jesus is. How many has ever been in a church service where you left and you just thought much about Jesus? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That is the glory of God. So we find the message, the mission. Number three, the last thing, the miracle of God's people. Now, you know, sometimes we have used that word miracle maybe a little too often. Miracle. We think something is a miracle when maybe it is not really a miracle. You know, obviously I have three children, two of them are in college, and both of them I taught how to drive. And I might say it's a miracle that we are alive, you know. Now, it definitely is God's protection, I can tell you that. Joshua now has his driver's permit, all right, and he's doing great. And I thank the Lord for him, and he's working at it. But you know, sometimes we use the word miracle. We might even say about a sports team, oh, that was a miracle catch, or that was a miracle throw. Not really a miracle. Because a miracle is something that God Almighty does. A miracle is where God intervenes. And as we're back in Psalm, let's go back to Psalm 22. And this is where we will close here today. Psalm chapter 22. I want us to go to verse number 30. And I want you to see something that I think is so fascinating. And I think is so important. What is the miracle? The miracle is that God keeps a witness and a testimony alive in every generation. Can I tell you what it's called? There is always a seed. Always a seed. Look at what the Bible says in Psalm chapter 22 and verse number 30. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. Brethren, please know today that God's people are not finished here on earth. You may think that, boy, the people of God are getting more and more scarce. I want you to know there is a generation of God's people throughout this entire world. It's amazing to me that no matter where we go, you know what I find? I find God's people there. Because there's always a generation. Sometimes we get to thinking that it's all up to us, that we're the only ones that are serving the Lord. But it's not all up to us. God has a generation everywhere. God has His people. Now, we are to do our part in our generation. By the way, God has allowed you to be alive in this generation. God has a purpose for you in this generation. And folks, I pray that God will help us to understand that there were others before me, there will be others after me, because God always has a people. He always has a remnant. You know what? Around the world, people are saying today, well, the church is dying. Christianity is going to be done with. We will bury that faith, not according to the Bible, because there will always be a remnant. Folks, by the way, the younger generation is coming. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm excited in what I see in the younger generation. Listen, I'm not hopeless this morning. I am not in despair. There is no cynicism in my heart and mind, because I believe that God is still working. And He is raising up a generation of preachers, of missionaries, of teachers, of people who know God, who will take the mission seriously about the message. Oh, listen, the miracle is that He hath done this. And can I tell you what He is doing? He's still working salvation. In fact, Jesus Christ, oh folks, He came and He declared the mission. Folks, today, are you serious about the message that God has given to you? Years ago, when missionaries were in China, before the Boxer Revolution ever took place, they estimated that there were approximately about 1 million Christians in China, all of China. Then the missionaries were killed, or they were driven out. They thought that they had stamped out Christianity. Today, they estimate not 1 million Christians in China, but over 100 million Christians in China. Oh, listen, we don't even think about that sometimes. But explain that. Explain that to me today. I'll tell you how to explain it. In their persecution, they refused to change the message. The message never changes. In fact, they gave the message clearly that He hath done this. Jesus finished the work on the cross. And by the way, when He said, "It is finished," I want you to know today, it's finished. There's nothing you add to it and nothing you take away from it. Now, if you're here this morning and you do not know where you would go if you died, I want to encourage you today that there is a God in heaven who loves you. You're not here by accident. You know, I believe a God who works divine, providential acts. It's of His divine providence that you're here today. You've heard a message that Jesus is the only way. But the question is, what will you do with the message? Oh, listen, we've heard lots of things, and some of them move us and some of them do not move us. But what will you do with the message this morning? Brethren, please know that yes, God loves you, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That God loves you today. You know what the devil lies to you about? The love of God. He convinces you that God is angry, mad, and God hates you. I want you to know God loves you, and He looks upon you this morning. He has a smile on His face, and He loves you. But you need to know that you're a sinner. You're a sinner. You have sinned against a holy God. In fact, the Bible tells us that if we've broken one of the Ten Commandments, we've broken all the Ten Commandments. And every one of us, we've broken at least one of the Ten Commandments. Oh, listen, think of thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not covet. We've all done that. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind. We've all broken His commandments, and we are guilty before God. We deserve punishment and judgment. And there is nothing you can do about it. In fact, the Bible says that because of our sins, the Bible says that we owe a sin debt. And that debt, the only way you can pay for your sin, is to die and spend eternity in hell, separated from God forever. But the good news, the message this morning, is that Jesus died for you. He paid the sin debt. Why does man want to do something to earn his salvation? I think it's because of our pride. I think it's because of our self-sufficiency. We want to do something, but it has been done for you. Now we must simply believe and accept by faith that Jesus is the only way. Oh, when I was 17 years of age, living in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I went to a good church. I grew up in a Christian home, but I was lost and without Jesus. And I remember that morning when I was sitting there listening to the preaching of God's Word. God spoke to me. He convicted my heart that I needed Jesus. that I was going to die and spend eternity in hell. And I remember that morning coming to an old-fashioned altar and got on my knees and I confessed to God that I was a sinner and that I could not save myself. And that day, Jesus saved me. And brethren, if that's you this morning, will you simply turn to Jesus Christ? You say, well, how do I turn? You know what Jesus said? To him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Listen, if you come to Jesus in humility and in simple childlike faith, he has promised to hear your prayer, to forgive you of your sin, and to adopt you into the family of God. Oh, this morning, do not tarry. You do not know that you have another day to live. Do not waste this God-given moment. He hath done this. He's done it for you. Now, if you're a child of God this morning, will you tell others what he has done for you? Because he's done it for them. And this morning, if you're here without Jesus Christ, he's done it for you. Will you accept it? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, my heart is stirred because, Lord, you've given us a message to tell. May we accept the mission. May we see how serious this mission is. And Lord, thank you for the miracle of what you are doing. Oh God, I'm amazed at how people come to know you, the miracle of the saving knowledge of Jesus. God, work in our hearts today. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many would say this morning, preacher, I know Jesus as my Savior. I know that if I died this morning, I know I'd go to heaven. No doubt about it, preacher. I know it. Would you lift your hands to testimony? That's me, Pastor. I know Jesus as my Savior. Thank you. You may put your hands down. But if you're here today and you were not able to raise your hand, I make you a promise that I'll not embarrass you or come to you. But I just want to ask you, maybe you're here and you do not know where you would go if you died. I just want to pray for you. Would you let me do that? No one's looking and I'll not call you out or embarrass you. But how many would say, preacher, pray for me. I do not know where I'd go if I died today. Pray for me, Pastor. Would you lift your hand this morning? Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. Now, child of God, how many would be honest? And how many would say, preacher, I know the message, but I have not been declaring the message. Would you pray that God will give me boldness and courage to tell my coworkers and my family members and others that this is the message, that he had done this? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, preacher. That God would give me boldness and courage. Amen. Oh, brethren, God wants you, not just me, not just the staff, not just the Sunday school teacher, not the Christian school teacher, not just the deacon. He wants all of us. Will you accept the mission or do you deny the mission? Do you say, no, I'm not going to do that? Remember what he has done for you. And how many would say today, preacher, I have really failed to thank the Lord for what he has done for me. And I want to bring glory to him by living in light of what he has done for me and by praising him. Would you lift your hand and hold it by? That's me, preacher. That's me. Amen. Let's stand together, would you please? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And let us pray together and then the invitation will begin. And our Father, we thank you for your word today. And God, how we need you. We pray that you will guide us. And Lord, thank you for what you have done. He hath done this. Lord, thank you. And Lord, may we tell others of thee. May we accept the mission to give the message. May we not, Lord, deny that this is what you have given to us. And I pray for anyone that's here without Jesus Christ, they will leave and come and let us take the Bible and show them how to be saved. Father, bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn, though, so we will go to hymn number 562, Just As I Am Without One Plea. If you're here without Jesus Christ, come. I'll be standing down here. If you're a lady, we'll have another lady take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a man, we'll have a man take the Word of God and show you how to be saved. But if God's spoken to your heart, and you know you're not being grateful and thankful for what he had done, come and praise him. Thank him. And maybe God's put on your heart someone he knows that you know that you needed to give the message to. Come, pray, and ask the Lord to give you strength and courage. Let's sing it together. Hymn number 562. Just as I am I want to thank you for being here this morning. What a great crowd the Lord has given to us. If you are visiting here today, first time to be here, as soon as we start to pray, you can be dismissed because I want you to come through the middle doors and greet. I'd like to shake your hand. My wife and I will be standing there. And anybody else, we'd love to fellowship. And if we can be of help in any way, please let us know. Of course, Brother Northcutt will be speaking tonight, presenting his work. We'll go ahead and let them go to their table if they can do that. And they have two children with them, of course, our son and a daughter. And we're thankful to have them. And great family, and what a blessing that they are. We're thankful they can be with us all day. So come back tonight. I pray that you'll be here. Ladies, Tuesday, we'd love to have you a part of the ladies' Bible study. Brother Stevens, would you come and close us in a word of prayer?
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the day that you've given us, and we thank you for your mercy and love and how you sent your Son to die for us. I pray, Lord, that you would give us the boldness of the great message that we have to be able to spread to so many people around us. I pray, Lord, with your power, we would be able to touch and affect the lives around us with the hope of the gospel. Lord, thank you for this message, and I pray that you'd be with us as we're on the roads. Give us safety. Bring us back tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.